Okay, Chevra. So we're learning Meseches Sota, and the Gemara on Dalet Amid Beis, two lines into the wide lines. Amir B'yochanan Mishun B'mshim Ben Yochai, Ka'anam Shesh Bogasas Haruach, Kilo Oved Avodazara. K'siv Hacha, Toav Asan Hashem Kogvalei, V'k'siv Hasam, V'lo Saviso Eva El Beisecha. So Gai V'gasas Haruach is considered Toav As Hashem, and therefore, if you have gaiva, it's as if you violate avodah zarah. The Gemara then says it's ke'ilu kafar v'ikar shenema v'ram levavecha v'shachachtos Hashem alaykecha. There's a difference between an oved avodah zarah and a kofar v'ikar. An oved avodah zarah basically is someone who recognizes that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but feels that God has no connection to her. So such a person feels like they are hiding from God, God is irrelevant, etc. A kofar be'ikar is someone who denies the existence of God. There seems to be a bit of a question in the Gemara as to whether the Baal Gaiva is someone who recognizes that there is some sort of higher power, but tries to hide herself from that higher power. That would be the Oved Avodah Zarah thing. The other approach is that the Baal Gaiva has it go to the head so much, it goes so much to her head, that the person even forgets the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. No? There are two different types of Baal Gaiva. You could be a Baal Gaiva that be'etzem you realize that there are certain things that you don't do all that great, but you try to hide them. You try to avoid them. That's one type of gaiva. That's the gaiva, I think, that's like avodah zarah. But there's also a different type of gaiva that the person feels that, really, I am the greatest in everything, world's greatest genius, most balanced genius, whatever you want to say. That's a type of gaiva that could actually end up denying the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you get an impression that denying the Ribbono Shel Olam is worse than worshipping Avodah Zarah. No?
Is that true?
Is that true? That's the question. So in terms of the technical onesh, it's not true. No? If one is over Avodah Zarah, so such a person is chayiv skila, like kofar be'ikar is just you deny God. I don't know if you're chayiv any onesh of being kofar be'ikar per se. You might do many averos because you deny God, but that doesn't mean that the denial itself is a significant avera.
That'd be pretty bad nowadays, the amount of kofrim that we have.
Yes, we have a lot of kofrim today. We have a lot of, but again, so you have to be careful. What is a kofar be'ikar? Does a kofar mean an atheist or an agnostic? I don't know if we have that many devout atheists. Right? Atheism in terms of really believing that there is no higher power, I don't know if that's so prevalent in our world. Not sure. Avodah Zarah probably still is prevalent.
Yeah.
And the Pashtus is, from this Gemara, that Kofar Be'ikar is worse than Avodah Zarah. No? The way we're explaining it, there's two different types of Gaiva. There's Gaiva who tries to hide from the higher power, and Gaiva that denies the higher power. You get an impression that denying the higher power is worse. But nonetheless, from the perspective of an Onesh, Avodah Zarah is worse. So I don't know how much stock to put in this, but there's a story of the Alter Rebbe of Chabad. That the Alter Rebbe one time is in a wagon with the Balai Gola, and the wagon driver didn't cross himself when he passed by the church. So the Alter Rebbe jumped out of the wagon and he said it's usher to be in the wagon with someone who doesn't cross himself. So like the Hasidim said, hey dear Alter Rebbe, like what do you mean? Like Avodah Zarah is really bad. So if the guy crosses himself and he passes the church, so that's safer for you? So the Alter Rebbe said, yeah, if someone at least recognizes that there's a God, so you can you can deal with the person. And the person has some sense of morality and some sense of values. But a person who denies God entirely is much worse. Now, again, I don't know what to make of that Alter Rebbe story. But Rabbi Walter Wurzberger was my childhood rabbi. So he was very close to the Rav.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
He was that's really cool.
Yeah, he was in Harvard, and he was single still. And he used to, he was the rabbi for Shalom Boston already, but because he was single, so he used to go over to the Rav's house all the time, like, ate Shabbos meals with the Rav. He used to play ball with Chaim Soloveitchik. He was the editor of Tradition. But he was really cool. Rabbi Wurzberger was, awesome. So Rabbi Wurzberger told me that he heard a story from the Rav. Actually, David Berger writes this in one of his essays somewhere, that one time the Rav is in the hospital, and one of the priests in Boston calls Rav Soloveitchik into his hospital room to speak with him. And Rabbi Wurzberger is waiting outside, and the Rav is spending a very long time, with this priest. So when the Rav comes out of the room, Rabbi Wurzberger asks him, dear Rav, what's going on here? So the Rav said, the priest was having difficulty with his faith, so I had to reinforce his faith. So Rabbi Wurzberger is what? one second, Catholicism, Avodah Zarah, whoa, what's going on here? So it's a good kasha. But apparently, again, the Rav had a Chabad Malamed when he was a kid, so I don't know if he got this Mesorah from Chabad, but this is the same idea as the Chabad Mesorah to some extent, that people without any religion, without any value system, are worse than people with a value system. And therefore, apparently the Rav felt that he should be mechazek this Catholic priest who's having some crisis of faith. This idea seems to be the same idea that the Me'iri develops throughout the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, no? The Balei HaTais is throughout the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah bothered by one kasha, which is that every single Gemara seems to go against what people actually do in the real world. So the Gemara says, don't do business with the non-Jews December 22nd, 23rd, 24th, right? And everyone does it. It's what's going on here? Right? This is a shir to give 2 weeks from now. It's what's going on over here? So Balei HaTais is bothered by this kasha, and the Balei HaTais have four answers. One answer is more shver than the next. Comes along the Me'iri, and the Me'iri has one yeson, and he uses it time and time again throughout the first peck of Avodah Zarah. And the Me'iri says that when you have umos hagadurim b'darchei adosos, when you have nations who are governed by rules and laws, these are not the people about whom the first peck of Avodah Zarah is written. No, the first peck of Avodah Zarah is about barbarians. What that means to some extent is that there is a value in being people who are governed by laws, people who might worship something which we define as being Avodah Zarah, but l'chol ha'pachos, the fact that they're governed by laws and rules, makes them better off than people who have no rules and no laws. That would mean l'cha'ora, that someone who's completely unconnected to any law system, and maybe an atheist and you have to figure out whether atheists have any laws, and if so, what makes those laws binding. But one could argue that this is a similar type of idea. Even if that Me'iri is different, nonetheless, I have the Alter Rebbe story and that Rabbi Wurzberger story, which I think makes some sense. So basically what the Gemara seems to be saying, I think, if I read the Gemara correctly, is that Kofar Be'ikar is worse than Oyved Avodah Zarah. Yes, Sophia, how are you?
I have a question. I don't know if I want it to be recorded. Is it going to be?
I could. The problem is, does anyone know how to push pause on these things? If I stop it, I have to start a new recording again. Can you write it down? And pass a note. I give you permission to pass notes during class.
I'll just ask at the end of the
show. Okay, you could ask at the end of the show. That also works. Weiter. So the Gemara says, Reb Chaim bar Chanina amak ilu ba'al kol ha'arayis. K'siv ha'cha tov az Hashem kol gvar lev, u'k'siv ha'som ki'ach kol ha'to'evos ha'el. Someone who's a ba'al gaiva, it's as if The person had relations with all the arayas. What's the connection between this? So obviously there's a word to'eva, that's a connection. But conceptually, in olam ha-machshava, what is the connection between being ba'al kol ha-arayos and being a ba'al gaiva? Ms. Stefanski.
Maybe you feel, if you're a ba'al gaiva, you think that you're entitled to anything.
Right, so it could be that ba'al gaiva is only interested in fulfilling his or her passions, and therefore you could have relations with kol ha-arayos because you're just completely unbridled. You want all your passions. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach, which I saw, I bought this sefer when I started doing silt. I never really used it. Like, I bought the sefer, it looked nice, a nice cover. And it's like all little chassidish atayra. And like it really wasn't speaking to me, but I figured for this gemara I would pull it out because like maybe there'd be something in here that I might find valuable. So in this sefer, he develops the idea. I forgot who he's quoting. I'd have to look it up again.
Who is he?
This is the Sefer State Sofim. It's written by Shmuel Dovra Koyen Friedman, who lives in Brooklyn, New York. I don't know.
After Moshe Feinstein or before?
After. After Moshe Feinstein. Listen, you know, the Sefer cost me... Oh, I spent $17 on this. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. I spent $17 on the Sefer. But, okay. B'kitcha ha-ma'asa. So, he says that a Baal Gaiva feels that he's superior to all people, and as such, the Baal Gaiva really can't connect to other people, because no one likes to connect with a person who is always better, always bragging, like, oh, I'm so special and you're nothing, whatever. It's not the type of thing that makes friends, etc. So the Baal Gaiva really stays away from all people. The Ribbono Shel Olam asered arayus. One of the reasons why the Ribbono Shel Olam asered arayus is because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to populate the world by connecting with people who are different than we are. Arayos are marrying one's close relatives. These are all people who are close to us, similar to us. If you marry your own relatives, so then you're going to end up with like these little circles of people who are unconnected with everybody else. By asering arayos, what
Orthodox
the Ribbono
Shel Olam... Judaism?
What?
Orthodox Judaism?
So Orthodox Judaism, though, sometimes you have people from the... Sometimes there are people from the five towns who marry people from Teaneck. So, like, we're actually moving out of our little circle. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, again, it is interesting that the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Purivu as, like, inhabiting and spreading out over the entire planet. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want people to remain these tiny little pockets of... Okay, so these tiny little incestuous pockets is not something Ribbono Shel Olam wants. So on some level, this Sefer argues, you could see why I'm not so crazy about the Sefer in general, but on some level, the Sefer argues that maybe the idea of a Baal Gaiva is the desire to remain separate from other people, and the Ribbono Shel Olam wants people to connect with each other, and arayos, on some level, is to prevent people from remaining separate, from remaining their own little, small group. Sounds good, Chevra? Even if it doesn't sound good, let's go weiter. Okay.
What's the difference between, or is there none, between Gaiva and Gasut Ruach?
So Gaiva and Gasus Ruach, I think, are very similar, if not the exact same thing. This Gemara begins, someone who has Gasus Ruach, that's the expression, and the Gemara is really talking about Givalev and Gasus Ruach. But it seems like the Gemara is using them interchangeably, although from an etymological perspective, I think that Gas Ruach is someone who has a thick spirit, which means like a lack of empathy, a lack of feeling for others. That's the way I would have translated Gas Ruach on my own, no? Now that also does connect, to Gaiva. That a person who is totally and completely taken by herself is unable to understand others. So the two do connect. Ms. Engel.
Well, also, like, even just with the Stay Sofim thing, like, if you're thinking about, like, just connecting with other people in general, like, you have to have a certain degree of humility to create space for them to even exist within your life.
Nahon.
Like, it's almost like a symptom.
Right, so what's interesting, the way he I think that part is absolutely correct. What's interesting about the way he presents it is the connection to Arayos, which is, how do we say in Yiddish, far-fetched. Okay, weiter.
Can you say it as one word? It does kind of sound Yiddish.
I have a whole list of English words that sound upshot. Upshot is like...
I really didn't think you were saying an English word.
But it's a whole list. But, no, upshot is an English word. Far flung is an English word that sounds so Yiddish. No? I once posted on Facebook a list of words that I thought of that were English and sounded like Yiddish, and we had like dozens of people like adding words. It's actually an interesting thing to think about, no? Okay, if it's really late at night and you're really tired, don't think of this because it'll keep you awake. Okay, weiter. Ula amar ke'ilu bana bama. Ula says if a person's a baal gaiva, it's like they build a bama. Shenema chadlu lechem in ha'adoma sheneshama ba'po ki bameh nechshavu al tikre bameh ela bama. A bama is a place to worship avodah zarah. That is placed up high on the mountain. The Baal Gaiva is Ke'ilu. That person is up high on the mountain, separate from everyone else. That is the idea of Gaiva. So it's as if you're building a Bama. Not only are you worshipping Avodah Zarah, but you're trying to do so in a separate, distinct location away from everywhere else. Vaiter. So then Gemara says, Yadli Yadlo Yinakeh. What does that mean? So one approach is that, now, the way we have the girsa in the Gemara is kohabal eshes ish. The Bach changes the girsa in the Gemara to fit in much better with what we're saying, which is komishish bogasos haruach. Right, so the three comments that the Gemara is going to have here, dalam and beis, going on to, hey, Amar Aleph, we're talking about gaiva, not someone that has relationship with an eshes ish. So yad li yad lo yinakeh, means if a person's a Baal Gaiva, even if a person is like Avraham Avinu, who's spreading monotheism to the entire world, still you're going to Gehenna if you're a Baal Gaiva. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean? Yad b'yad lo yinakeh really refers to even if a person's like Moshe Rabbeinu and received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if you're a Baal Gaiva, so still you're lo yinakeh, you're still going to go to Gehenna. And the third approach is that yad liyad means even if a person gives tzedakah from hand to hand, tzedakah in private, which is the highest level of tzedakah, or the next to highest level of tzedakah, even so, lo yinakeh, if a person's a Baal Gaiva, you're going to go to Gehenna no matter what. It's interesting that this Gemara brings up Moshe Rabbeinu, and even if Moshe Rabbeinu, who received Torah yad liyad, or yad miyad, got Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Moshe Rabbeinu would be a Baal Gaiva, so you would even Moshe Rabbeinu would go to Gehenna. It's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, received Torah precisely because he was the antithesis of a Baal Gaiva. Ish Moshe Anof Mi'ol Nikol Adam. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of a Baal Gaiva. The Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev used to say that the pshat in the first mission on Avos of Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai, right, is because the Gemara later on in Hayaman Aleph is going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashar Shkinasa Har Sinai. You know, it's like a song that they teach you in kindergarten. Now Har Sinai is like this little mountain, and that's
why...
Yes!
What? That's where it comes from?
Yeah!
Wait.
This Gemara! There's some... Right? Isn't there a song that you learned in kindergarten about, like, Hashem didn't give the Torah in, like, a high mountain?
Yeah.
Right? So that's this Gemara.
Yeah.
Huh?
The little
Harsina. Little Harsina.
Yeah. We
sang
that. For your sitter play. We did Torah tours. We like, were at this, like, Chabad rabbi's house, and, like, it was, like, a lot of guests, and, like, the son just, like, sat in front and sang the song.
But... It's a beautiful song. It's very nice. And that's Sota Daf Hei Yomar Aleph. Right, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Har Sinai precisely because it is not a high mountain to give Torah on. Zok Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, that's the pshat in the first mission of those. Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mekabel Torah is because he learned from Har Sinai. Just like Har Sinai was not a mountain with Gaiva, it's not like Hatabar, and I have no idea what it means that a mountain has Gaiva, but Har Sinai is not a mountain with Gaiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu is able to Mekabel the Torah because Moshe Rabbeinu is Mi Sinai. He learned from Sinai not to have Gaiva.
Someone who gives Stakka B'Seter, I would also say, is like the antithesis of
a So Gaiva. Here's the thing. I could be about Gaiva precisely because... So Baruch Chait has this book called The Marvelous Meadows Island. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a little cartoon book. It's not a machine, it's a tape.
Is that a pirate?
What?
The bad pirate.
The bad pirate.
I love the bad pirate.
Wait. So, okay, so again... So we're going to get carried away if we go too far.
Wait, the etro guy. The guy with the huge
etro. In other words, a person... That's why I'm bringing that book up.
Wait,
because a person could be a Baal Gaiva precisely because the person does mitzvah so well. And that's exactly what this Gemara is saying.
But this Seter is not... Is like...
Yeah,
I'm giving... Stuck a besaser. But I walk over to my friend and I say, you have no idea how much of what I did. Oh, what did you do? I can't tell you. Too much novana. But you have no idea what I did. The amount of chesed, you can't even imagine how much chesed I do. Yes, ma'am.
And it's interesting though, because also the Avraham Avinu cases also could be seen as the antithesis of Gaiva. Because the second you have, especially at the Kovah Meikar level, Gaiva, even though it is there, Gaiva, it's the opposite of allowing Hashem to exist in your life as some sort of higher power. So being someone who's dafka going out to spread monotheism, then not only do you yourself have this awareness of the fact that you're actually like not so.
But here's the thing: sometimes a person, I think what the Gemara is getting at, that sometimes a person could do really wonderful religious acts, but they're coming from a place of intense gaiva. Right, it's entirely possible, and that's why I brought up the Baruch Chait book, right? Because of that story that apparently Sophia remembers about the guy who's bragging about, I have the world's nicest S, right? The guy Vatanic.
Oh,
that's the name of the boat. If you don't, I'm sure the...
It's like an illustrated book. It's not like...
Yeah. The guy Vatanic, right? If the Stern Library doesn't have it, you should ask them to buy it.
They sell it at the Storm, so.
They used to sell it at
the Storm.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah, we had like a little
few days. So the point is that sometimes a person could even be like an Avraham Avinu, even like a Moshe Rabbeinu. You could have a person says, oh, I know so much Torah. And the guy Mamash knows Kol HaTorah Kula. But the guy is a Gaiva dick out the wazoo. The guy is like all over Gaiva. And that's entirely possible. It's not a stira to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham and to still be a Baal Gaiva. Not a stira at all. Again, it should be. It's not.
That makes sense to me that it's not a stira. Giving Stakka B'Seter is Dafka not telling people that you're giving Stakka.
So, again, I call the Ani into my private office. But if, first of all, if I feel afterwards, if after I do the mitzvah, I say, you know what? I'm a great guy. Whew! What a mitzvah I did. And I like, you know, that's a real problem. A person who gives a lot of tzedakah b'seser should say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me money, and I do what I'm supposed to do. And the person shouldn't be all taken by himself or herself. It's possible to do mitzvahs, to do tzedakah b'seser, and still to be a Baal Gaiva. Yes, Ms. Engel.
So, just a question. So, I don't remember the source of the story, but I remember reading a story one time about, like, the difference between, like, an actual awareness of strengths or things in your life versus Gaiva and how they're different.
Yeah.
And one of the stories was like one time there was like some gadol somewhere and he was brought into court under like a oath of like telling the truth. And he said like, who's the smartest person in the city? And he said me. And the whole thing was like, he's not being a Baal Gaiva, like he just was bound by the truth and like he actually was like hyper aware of his strengths. But in a way, like where's that?
Gemara
be like, we could save it for a sheer dinner.
The Gemara says that over here?
Yeah, doesn't the Gemara say something about when it says Amarava Bishmatza de Itbe, Bishmatza de Letbe, does Rashi not say that
that you should be in Chaim if you have a little bit of Gaiva, if you have some Gaiva, if you don't have any Gaiva, you should have a teeny bit of Gaiva.
Right, as in you shouldn't think of yourself as like nothing.
Does Rashi say that? I don't remember.
Again,
well, I'll say about that Gemara now just for a second because you referenced it, and it seems like at the pace that we're going, we're not going to have a chance to get there. Is the Gemara seems to have a machlokas about whether you should have a teeny bit of gaiva, the echad mishminis bishminis,
yes.
an eighth of an eighth is a 64th, 64th is less than 60, it's batul b'shishim, maybe you should have a tiny bit of gaiva, or should you have no gaiva at all? There seems to be a steer in the Rambam, the way the Rambam paskins on this question.
Right about Kasa.
Because the Rambam tells us in the second perek of Hilchos Deos, the Rambam tells us that for all... The Rambam doesn't talk about midos, he talks about deos. Right? That's like Rambam language.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Rambam, all deos, you should be be'emtza ha-derech, but ma'od ma'od hevi shval ruach. Right? Gaiva is something that you should go ad k'tzei ha'acharon. The problem is that the Rambam, the Lechem Mishnah, asks Akasha that the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Deos, right, that Rambam was in Perek Beis of Deos Halacha Gimel. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Deos says that you should have Be'emtza HaDerech even about Gaiva. And that seems to be the two opinions in this Gemara. Right, Emtza HaDerech doesn't have to mean the 50-yard line. Emtza HaDerech just means, are you on the playing field? No? Do you have some Gaiva or not? When the Gemara has an opinion of Echa Mishmini Bishminis, that means you should have some Gaiva. The other opinion is, right, Lohu Velo Miktsehu, I don't want any Gaiva whatsoever. And there seems to be a steam in the Rambam about what's proper, which is a machlokas in the Gemara. So the Lechem Mishnah asks this stira, and there are many different approaches. The Pashtus is, though, that when the Lechem Mishnah says that you should go to the other extreme and have no gaiva, is when the person realizes that she is being nota to too much gaiva, then you have to purge it entirely. Most midos, or most deos for the Rambam, when the person realizes that they have a problem, so you move the needle. Gaiva is the type of thing that when you realize you have a problem, you have to purge it entirely. Again, that's one mahalach of the Lechem Mishnah, but this is certainly something that is worth thinking about. The other ha'ara I just have on that Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, I said to my shir uptown this morning, is the Lashon HaRambam is a Tzivu Chachamim. Tzivu Chachamim sounds like a very strong Lashon, but the only time the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, Rav Nochum Rabinowitz points out, the only time the Rambam ever uses the Lashon Tzivu Chachamim is when the Rambam is like speaking about like what we would call Musar.
Yeah.
Tzivu Chachamim doesn't mean like a mitzvah you gotta do. I mean, Tzivu Chachamim, it's like very strong rabbinic advice. Right? It's like Musar, Yesodos. So that's what Rav Nochum Rabinowitz explains, the Rambam who writes, Tzivu Chachamim shlo yilamed odem es bito Torah. Right? So everyone like jumps up and down, how can we have Gemara Shirins during college, isn't it Usar, stuff like that, right? So Rav Nochum Rabinowitz's insight, which I think is actually very elegant, is that that expression, Tzivu Chachamim, in the Rambam Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel of Talmud Torah, Tzivu Chachamim Shalom Yilamid Onam Espito Torah, is the same Tzivu Chachamim that we have in Perek Beis of Deos, and throughout Hilchos Deos, the Rambam uses expression of Tzivu Chachamim to mean Musar. Meaning it's not what I would call the type of halacha that goes into Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam has a broader sense of what halacha includes, and therefore the Rambam has like Hilchos Deos, etc. That's the next R I wanted to mention, just because you mentioned that Gemara, whether you should have a teeny bit of gaiva or not. Let's go back to the Gemara. Top of Hayomer Aleph, Zakti Gemara, Azhar el Gasei Haruach Minayin, what's the source not to be about gaiva? So Rava quotes from Ze'iri, a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shimu v'ha'azinu al tigbahu. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak learns from a pasuk, v'ram levavecha v'shachachtas Hashem loikecha, and he shomer locha pen tishkach, don't forget God, and gaiva means that you'll forget God. And therefore there's a lav. What this means, l'cha'ayra, is that there's a machlokas in the Gemara as to whether the Isser of Gaiva is an Isser d'Oraisa, or what we would call an Isser d'Rabbanon. You can't learn Yisurim d'Oraisa from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, no? Yisurim d'Oraisa have to come from the five books of Moses, from the Pentateuch. So if I learn from Shim'u, huh?
I don't know how to pronounce that. I always did it a Pentateuch.
I think, I don't know. This is not a conversation that we have time to have now, but Pentateuch is not a word that sounds Yiddish. I'll just say it like that. So, but the fact is, if you learn from Yirmiyahu Hanavi, it's not a Din Doraisa. If you learn from Devarim, it is a Din Doraisa. Okay. So how do I paskin? Do I paskin that there's an Isser Doraisa of Gaifa? Now, by the way, everyone holds that in the world of Midos, Gaiva is bad. The Torah is Mishabeach Moshe Rabbeinu Ha'ish Moshe Anov Mi'od. Right? Anova, which is the opposite of Gaiva. Anova is a great thing. Gaiva is bad. But is it an Isser Doraisa? So among the Monei HaMitzvos, the vast majority, overwhelming majority of Monei HaMitzvos do not count the lav of being a Baal Gaiva, which probably means that they're paskening like the first Mahalach in the Gemara, that the source of Gaiva is from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu rather than a Pasuk in the Torah.
But could it be that they think that you need a little bit of Gaiva? And so how could it be?
So it could be that they feel like the Gemara says later on that you need a little bit of Gaiva, but I'm not sure that's correct, because if you need a little bit of Gaiva, that doesn't mean that there's no Isser to be a Baal Gaiva, no? Or it's no Isser to be a Gas Ruach. You get the impression that, again, there are gradations, and to be a Gas Ruach, even if you paskin of Shmini Shebishminis, but it could be there still is an Isser being a Baal Gaiva, because don't have too much Gaiva. So among the Monei HaMitzvos, the Rambam does not quote the Isser of Gaiva at all. The Yerayim quotes it in the Mitzvahs Asay that you should be an Onov. Alone among the Monei HaMitzvos who counts Gaiva as a lav is the Smag. The Smag was an interesting fellow. His name was Moshe of Kutzi. The Smag is the first of the Bali HaTaisas who discovered the Rambam, and the Smag was called by his friends, or his enemies, Ramesha HaDarshan. The Smag used to go through towns in Europe, and he would give long drushes. And you know what he spoke about? He spoke about the fact that people in his door did not do particular mitzvahs. People didn't have mezuzahs on their doors. And the Smag says you have to have mezuzahs. Apparently the people had like this mistaken notion that there is one statement to Chazal of Ir Sheyesh B'Chazirim, that you shouldn't have a mezuzah. And in medieval Europe, there were pigs all over the place. And pigs literally live in slop, and it's dirty. So some people had this mistaken notion that they shouldn't have mezuzah. People in the door of the Smag didn't wear tefillin. Men didn't wear tefillin in the door of the Smag. And the Smag goes around Europe, and he's giving Musar, and he's saying, Chevra, gotta wear tefillin. You have to have mezuzah. People, again, they're coming from a halachic place, that they had this notion of what gufnaki means, that therefore no one could wear tefillin. The Smag says you have to do that. And the Smag says, you know what? He writes in the Hakdama to the Sefer, and then the Mitzvah Sleis HaSei Samach Dalet. The Smag writes, really, we had mitzvahs, and then people start forgetting. We had Torah, and the Torah is in the nice place in Bavel, and they have yeshivas over there. Ad HaYom HaZeh, their yeshivas in Nahar Da'a, which is Baghdad. And like, everyone, Ad HaYom HaZeh, they're learning Torah, it's great, but we keep on forgetting, and we keep on forgetting. And the Rambam did a good thing, and he like put together the mitzvahs, but the Rambam made some mistakes. And therefore I decided, I, Moshe HaDarshan, I decided to put together Sefer HaMitzvahs. But I was a little uncomfortable with this. And then one night I have a dream, and the dream says, write two books. So I write two books, one on the Mitzvahs Asay, one on the Mitzvahs Lois Asay. Then I go to sleep the next night, and I have another dream. And the dream says, you forgot the most important thing, which is, V'rom levavecha v'shachachtas Hashem loikecha. You have to include the Isser of Gaiva. So the Smag alone among the Monei HaMitzvos counts the Isser of Gaiva. None of the other Monei HaMitzvos count it, only the Smag. Okay. Yeah.
So just to clarify, the only reason why he counts it as a Doraita is because he saw it in a dream?
Nachon. Okay. That's what he writes. I can read it to you. Right? He made, now, you should, in this edition of the Smag, they have the difference between the first edition of the Smag and this printed edition of the Smag. Smag apparently rewrote his book. So in the first edition of the Smag, he just writes Va'ere Bamar E. I had like some sort of vision. And in the second edition of the Smag, Kishigati Adkan Lahashlim Halavin, Ekra en Bachalom, Bimar Otalaila, Hinesha Chachta Taikar, Hishamelcha, Pentishkachas Hashemelakecha. Visponanti alav baboker. In the morning I thought about my dream. Vina yisol godahu yiberes Hashem v'alti l'chabro be'ezer yohiv chochmusol l'chakimin. Right, he writes, I decided to include it as one of the mitzvahs. In the original girsa over here, it doesn't say b'chalom, it just says b'mare halayla. But I think it's the same type of thing. Now, what effect do dreams have in halacha? So that's a Dr. Kannerfogel question. He's written many articles about it. Have fun. Yeah.
So, does he do this for a lot of
mitzvot? Dreams?
Yeah.
Only this one?
Only this one.
This is the only one. He has this in the Hakdama to the Smag, and then here in Lavin Samach Daled. He says, I wrote the whole book, but I don't understand. He writes a whole book, then he realizes that he missed a dream, so he sticks in as number 64. Okay, that part I don't get, but whatever, that's what the Smag says. Eliana.
I was
going
to ask, what mitzvot did he pick the most? If he had 13, then he had to take one out.
Yeah, but you have to take one out. That's like we spoke about in Daf Gimel.
Does the Smag hold that you need 613
mitzvot? The Smag is into 613 mitzvot. Yeah, he just writes that the Rambam made mistakes. He counted some of the wrong ones. The Rambam counts Zog and Chartzon as one, and it should really be two. The Smag and the Hakdama goes through this whole thing. I don't know. So the Smag counts...
Is it really so crazy to, like, have a dream?
Yeah.
No, but it's kind of crazy. I don't know, crazy, but it's like unusual to write an entire sefer because you had a dream.
No, it's the
Yeah. Then the tziv story is different, right?
Is it true?
Doesn't he hear his parents saying that they're gonna?
Right, his parents say that he's gonna be an apprentice shoemaker or something, and nothing's gonna come to him.
I
wasn't there. I don't know.
No, but there aren't. We don't have other sarim that say like, oh, and you have this here in a dream. I feel like I've heard this before.
I mean, again, I'll say it like this. The Rambam in the Mora assumes that most of the stories in Chumash Bereishis that were
fine.
Is that what you're referring to?
No, I feel like I've heard before. Like Poskim say they had a dream.
I don't know.
It doesn't seem...
I mean, the question of the role of dreams in halacha is an interesting question. Did we speak about this in this show?
We mentioned it.
I mentioned, like, the Chidon, the Shem HaGadolim.
Oh,
about,
yeah.
So we spoke about. And Reb Reuven Margolyos in his Hakdama to the Shutmin HaShamayim has a whole discussion about the role of dreams in halacha. Yeah. It's not clear. Now, I should add, though, that I don't think this is relevant for halacha. Something I think I mentioned when we learned Daf Gimel is that what I count as a mitzvah in the Torah might not be relevant la halacha. Whether or not something is one of the 613 mitzvahs doesn't matter. I'm not allowed to be a Baal Gaiva. Whether it's one of the 613, it's not one of the 613. I'm not allowed to be a Baal Gaiva. L'may nafgamina lahalocha, whether it's one of the mitzvahs. No, but could be it's a dairaisa, even though I don't count it as one of the 613.
Oh, because let's say for example, the Rambam's whole thing of other certain things that aren't part of 613 is these.
Correct.
They don't apply these rules.
But it could be dairaisa not being part of the 613, so I'm not sure if this dream of the smag was a halachic thing or just a categorization. Yes.
What is the significance of the 613 then?
Is there necessarily
right, so,
a significance? So
what's the significance of Tarjag Mitzvahs?
Is there?
So the Pashtus is, again, the Balei HaTosfos write on Chumash that when the Torah says that the Melech is supposed to have a Sefer Torah that he carries around with himself all the time, so it can't be the king really has a Sefer Torah, he carries it everywhere. Elamai had a list of 613 mitzvahs, and the nafka mina, so whether something's a mitzvah, is whether it was written on the little crib note that the Melech had. I don't know. what is a nafka? This is a very important question to think about. I don't know the answer to. What is the nafka mina la halacha? Whether something's a mitzvah? I don't know. Okay, so if you read the Smag though, so the Smag seems to say that there are two aspects to the Isser of Gaiva. Mikan azhara shol yisgoi odom b'meshach hanono habore, heim b'mamon, heim b'yofi, heim b'chochma, that you shouldn't be overly impressed with the money that you have, with the beauty, with the wisdom. Ela yeshol liyos onav u'shval berech lifnei elokim, va'anashim. The Smag writes clearly that there are two aspects to gaiva. There's gaiva lifnei elokim, and there's gaiva lifnei anashim. So in the addition, in the YU based medrash uptown, so they have the edition of the Smag that Rabbi Avram Price of Toronto put out. Rabbi Price was a Rav in Toronto. He was an interesting fellow. He wrote some beautiful Sfarim. So he came out with his own edition of the Smag. So I was just looking at it this morning a bit. So Rabbi Price points out that maybe that's the nafka mina between the two psukim. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "Shimu v'ha'azinu al tigbahu." Listen up. Don't be a Baal Gaiva. That means, if you're a Baal Gaiva, you're not going to be able to hear what your friend says. You're not going to be able to connect with other people. That's the Gaiva that the Smag is speaking about, Lifnei Anashim. Viram levavecha v'shachachtos Hashem aleikecha, is that if a person's a Baal Gaiva, the person won't be able to hear from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The person will forget the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the two dimensions of Gaiva, these two psukim, not only are we saying that one is Dairaisa, one is Dirabbonon, but there are two different types of Gaiva entirely. There's Gaiva, the interpersonal Gaiva, and then there is the Gaiva to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's another type of Gaiva. Now, we mentioned that the Smag alone among Moni HaMitzvahs counts the Isser of Gaiva. Why does the Rambam not count Gaiva? So we suggested maybe the Rambam doesn't count Gaiva because he was like the first Mahalach in the Gemara that's a Pusik in Yirmiyahu. But the Migdal Oz on the bottom of the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Deos, should I say it? I may as well say it because I like it. Rav Shechter quotes from one of the Achrayim that the entire Sefer Migdal Oz was a waste of the paper was printed on because there's nothing useful in the entire Sefer. okay, I don't know. It's very funny. In the bottom of the Rambams, you have Migdal Oz. Like, no one looks at it. Like, why do they keep on printing the Migdal Oz on the bottom of the Rambam? I once said this over in the Shiur I was giving in Lawrence. And like one of the yeshivish balabatim came over to me and said, "That's the problem with YU." Like, well, he's like, "In yeshivas, we would never say that." I don't know. Like, okay, whatever. But the Migdal Oz on the bottom of the Rambam Perek Beis of Deis asks the Kasha, "How come the Rambam doesn't quote Gaiva?" So he says, oh, the Rambam doesn't quote Gaiva, maybe, because Gaiva is an Isser that connects to so many other Isserim in the Torah. And it's like an Isser Klali. There are some who suggest that the Rambam doesn't quote the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz also, because Yishuv Haaretz...
It's saying that I was like, oh, because in the
Cheshek Shlomo...
Why were talking about Megillah Esther? I'm like, oh, this is the sefer that talks about the
Rama and
Yishuv
Haaretz.
Like, this is the only.
That's correct. Right. So the Megillah Esther. The Megillah Esther. You see, any sefer. Am I allowed to get political for 2 minutes? But if you're like very partisan, if you're a partisan hack, sometimes you lose your sense of MS. So if I always defend a Republican president, no matter what the impeachable offenses that the fellow did, that means I'm not being honest. Right? Are my politics coming across? So the Megillas Esther, Lahavdil, 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 the Megillas Esther has a job to always defend the Rambam.
Yes.
And when you have a job to always defend somebody, you end up saying things which sound, as we say in Yiddish, far-fetched. Right? Because... that's what happens.
classic story with the Rav's father.
Yeah, one day maybe you'll have a pshat from the Rambam. It's a beautiful story, Anochanami. but let me just finish. So the Migdal Oz, again, the Cheshek Shloim in the back of the Gemara quotes it. The Migdal Oz suggests that maybe the Rambam doesn't quote Gaiva because Gaiva is relevant for so many Yisurim in the Torah. It's like an Isser Klali. It applies everywhere, and therefore he doesn't quote it. Some suggest that maybe the Rambam doesn't quote Yishuv Haaretz, because Yishuv Haaretz is so fundamental. It's not yet to so many things, that's why he doesn't quote it. Habayahi, that the Rambam does count as a mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that there is a single God. Now, if you want to know what is more fundamental to Yiddishkeit, the Isser of Gaiva, the mitzvah Yishuv Haaretz, or the belief in God? Right? If you don't believe in God, Kevan Shanafal HaYesod, Nafal HaBinyan. If you don't believe in God, so there is nothing to talk about. Like, the whole nothing makes any sense. So that Mahalach is very difficult. A Mahalach of the Migdal Oz. Migdal Oz has a second Mahalach. He says, maybe the Rambam doesn't quote, what?
The Cheshek Shlomo answered that question.
The Cheshek Shlomo has his own Mahalach that maybe Yisurim that come from Hishamer, we don't count. That's his suggestion. But first I want to go through the Migdal Oz's two suggestions. Suggestion one, it's Klali. That's very difficult. Suggestion two of the Migdal Oz is I don't quote it because it's an Isser that is Tolei Belev. In other words, that we only count Isurim stuff that are actions, but stuff that are beliefs and ideas, so we don't quote. So what?
What?
One second. I have like a million mitzvahs and isurim. Like, remember Amalek. Remember Amalek. That's believe. No. Losis Ave. The Torah says in Aseres Hadibros and Pashas Va'eschanan, don't desire your friend's field, his donkey, whatever. Losis Ave is believe. We count Losis Ave as a mitzvah. Right. In fact, the Ibn Ezra has that famous essay in Parshas Yisro, where he says, how can the Torah be mitzvah something that's a belief? He says, well, you know, if you're like a pauper, a farmer, a payer out there, you're not going to want to marry the princess. Right? That's the famous essay of the Ibn Ezra.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like the
most...
Wait,
we know that you can't
get
it.
I still don't know it.
Wait, what?
How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, don't desire your friend's wife? Maybe I desire her. It's in my heart. I want her. So the Ibn Ezra says, no. You should realize like the farmer doesn't think he could marry the princess because it's not in the farmer's hasagas. It's like so far away. So that's the attitude that we should have to things that the Torah says are usher. It's like not shayach to me. And that's the famous essay. But you can have Isurim on beliefs. So what exactly does the Migdal Oz mean? How can the Migdal Oz suggest that there's no Isurim on beliefs? So both Mahalchim and the Migdal Oz are difficult. And the Cheshek Shlomo says that maybe the Pshad is that the Rambam never quotes things that come from the Pasuk of Yishomer, Pen and Al, etc. Because that's not an explicit lav. Rabbi Price of Toronto, we mentioned 3 minutes ago, he tries to defend the second Mahalach of the Migdal Oz. When the Migdal Oz says that we don't count as an Isser, something which is belave, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? So Rabbi Price suggests something interesting. You see, when it comes to this Isser of Gaiva, what's the Isser of Gaiva? The Isser of Gaiva is that one of you mentioned before, you know, the story that so-and-so, I think, Sarah, you mentioned it, that it's not gaiva if you actually really, like, I remember speaking to Rav Schechter one time about, like, a certain thing. Rav Schechter's like, no, I know who I am. I know that I know the sugya is better than what, like, it's not gaiva. He knows. He actually knows it, right? That's not gaiva. So a person could distort himself or herself, a person could deceive himself or herself, could say, oh, it's not gaiva, I really am better than they are. It's not gaiva, I really... So maybe that's what the Migdal Oz means, that the Torah can't have as a lav something which is mussar lev to such an extent that there are no objective definition that you could give as an outsider as to what constitutes gaiva. And as an insider, yes, I know I'm not supposed to be about gaiva, as an insider, I will always deceive myself and say, ah, it's not gaiva, it's emes, right? So that itself is why, or it says Rabbi Price, that's exactly the pshat in the Migdal Oz as to why it's not counted as a lav. Again, there's much more to say about gaiva. It happens to be, I think we were speaking about this before. No, that learning a gadot is a lot of fun. It's gewaldic. I think one of the problems in like the yeshiva system of learning is that you focus on like the first couple of dapim and bavakama, bavametzia, bavabasra, whatever it is, and you never really get a sense. There's such a rich hashgachas haTorah that emerges from my gadota. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but Rabbi Tensler, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva NYU, is a son of Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Tensler is also the founding rabbi of the Great Neck Synagogue. So when he became the rabbi, when he started the Great Neck Synagogue, so he asked Rabbi Moshe, what should I do? So Rabbi Moshe says, make sure you teach the Balabatim a lot of Agarata. Learn it well. I thought that was like a brilliant insight. Like, people think that Hashgafa is just like whatever comes to my pupik at whatever moment. Like, there are Gemaras. You have to learn well. Be'iyun. We should have a good Shabbos Chevra. And Zayge Benched.